This is the reading for September 27th. Jeremiah chapter 35. When Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah, the Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah, saying, "Go to the family of Rechab, invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the temple of the Lord, and offer them wine to drink." So I went to Jezaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazziniah, and I gathered all Jezaniah's brothers and sons and the whole family of the Rechabites together. Then I brought them into the temple of the Lord. We went into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, who was a man of God. The room was next to the one where the officers stay, and above the room of Messiah, son of Shalem, the doorkeeper in the temple. Then I put some bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family, and I said to them, "Drink some wine." But the Rechabite men answered, "We never drink wine. Our ancestor Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. You and your descendants must never drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, plant seeds, or plant vineyards, or do any of those things. You must live only in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are wanderers." So we Rechabites have obeyed everything Jonadab, our ancestor, commanded us. Neither we nor our wives, sons, or daughters ever drink wine. We never build houses in which to live, or own fields or vineyards or plant crops. We have lived in tents and have obeyed everything our ancestor Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, attacked Judah, we said to each other, "Come, we must enter Jerusalem so we can escape the Babylonian army and the Aramean army." So we have stayed in Jerusalem. Then the Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. "Jeremiah, go and tell the men of Judah and the men, people of Jerusalem, you should learn a lesson and obey my message, says the Lord. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his descendants not to drink wine, and that command has been obeyed. Until today, they have obeyed their ancestors' command. They do not drink wine. But I, the Lord, have given you messages again and again, but you did not obey me. I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you again and again, saying, each of you must stop doing evil. You must change and be good. Do not follow other gods or serve them. If you obey me, you will live in the land I have given to you and your ancestors. But you have not listened to me or paid attention to my message. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, obeyed the commands their ancestor gave them. But the people of Judah have not obeyed me." So the Lord God All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says, "I will soon bring every disaster I said would come to Judah and to everyone living in Jerusalem. I spoke to those people, but they refused to listen. I called out to them, but they did not answer me." Then Jeremiah said to the Rechabites, "This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the commands of your ancestor Jonadab and have followed all of his teachings. You have done everything he commanded. So this is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. There will always be a descendant of Jonadab, son of Rechab, to serve me." Jeremiah chapter 36. The Lord spoke this word to Jeremiah during the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah. "Get a scroll, write on it all the words I have spoken to you about Israel and Judah and all the nations. Write everything from when I first spoke to you when Josiah was king until now. Maybe the family of Judah will hear what disasters I am planning to bring on them and will stop doing wicked things. Then I would forgive them for the sins and the evil things they have done." So Jeremiah called for Baruch, son of Neriah. Jeremiah spoke the messages the Lord had given him, and Baruch wrote those messages on the scroll. Then Jeremiah commanded Baruch, "I cannot go to the temple of the Lord. I must stay here, so I want you to go to the temple of the Lord on a day when the people are giving up eating. Read from the scroll to all the people of Judah who come into Jerusalem from their towns. Read the messages from the Lord, which are the words you wrote on the scroll as I spoke them to you. Perhaps they will ask the Lord to help them. Perhaps each one will stop doing wicked things because the Lord has announced that he is very angry with them." So Baruch son of Neriah did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do. In the Lord's temple he read aloud the scroll that had the Lord's messages written on it. In the ninth month of the fifth year that Jehoiakim son of Jehoiada was king, a special time to give up eating was announced. All the people of Jerusalem and everyone who had come into Jerusalem from the towns of Judah were supposed to give up eating to honor the Lord. At that time, Baruch read to all the people there the scroll containing Jeremiah's words. He read the scroll in the temple of the Lord in the room of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, a royal secretary. That room was in the upper courtyard at the entrance of the new gate of the temple. Micaiah, son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the messages from the Lord that were on the scroll. Micaiah went down to the royal secretary's room in the king's palace where all of the officers were sitting. Elishama, the royal secretary, Deliah, son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, son of Akbor, Gemariah, son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, son of Hananiah, and all the other officers. Micaiah told those officers everything he had heard Baruch read to the people from the scroll. Then the officers sent a man named Jehudi, son of Nethaniah, to Baruch. Nethaniah was the son of Shelemiah, who was the son of Cushi. Jehudi said to Baruch, "Bring the scroll that you read to the people and come with me." So Baruch, son of Neriah, took the scroll and went with Jehudi to the officers. Then the officer said to Baruch, "Please sit down and read the scroll to us." So Baruch read the scroll to them. When the officers heard all the words, they became afraid and looked at each other. They said to Baruch, "We must certainly tell the king about these words." Then the officers asked Baruch, "Tell us, please, where did you get all these words you wrote on the scroll? Did you write down what Jeremiah said to you?" "Yes," Baruch answered, "Jeremiah spoke them all to me, and I wrote them down with ink on this scroll." Then the officers said to Baruch, "You and Jeremiah must go and hide, and don't tell anyone where you are." The officers put the scroll in the room of Elishama, the royal secretary. Then they went to the king in the courtyard and told him all about the scroll. So King Jehoiakim sent Jehudi to get the scroll. Jehudi brought the scroll from the room of Elishama, the royal secretary, and read it to the king and to all the officers who stood around the king. It was the ninth month of the year, so King Jehoiakim was sitting in the winter apartment. There was a fire burning in a small fire pot in front of him. After Jehudi had read three or four columns, the king cut those columns off of the scroll with a penknife and threw them into the fire pot. Finally, the whole scroll was burned in the fire. King Jehoiakim and his servants heard everything that was said, but they were not frightened. They did not tear their clothes to show their sorrow. Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah even tried to talk to King Jehoiakim out of burning the scroll, but he would not listen to them. Instead, the king ordered Jeremiah, son of the king, Sariah, son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, son of Abdiel, to arrest Baruch the secretary and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord had hidden them. So King Jehoiakim burned the scroll where Baruch had written all the words Jeremiah had spoken to him. Then the Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah, "Get another scroll, write all the words on it that were on the first scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. Also, say this to Jehoiakim, king of Judah. This is what the Lord says. You burned up that scroll and said, 'Why, Jeremiah, did you write on it, 'The king of Babylon will surely come and destroy this land and the people and animals in it'? So this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Jehoiakim's descendants will not sit on David's throne. When Jehoiakim dies, his body will be thrown out on the ground. It will be left out in the heat of the day and in the cold frost of the night. I will punish Jehoiakim and his children and his servants because they have done evil things. I will bring disasters upon them and upon all the people in Jerusalem and Judah, everything I promised but which they refused to hear." So Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch son of Neriah, his secretary. As Jeremiah spoke, Baruch wrote on the scroll the same words that were on the scroll Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And many similar words were added to the second scroll.
Chapter 7.
Don't you realize, brothers and sisters, that laws have power over people only as long as they are alive? I'm speaking to people who are familiar with Moses' teachings. For example, A married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, that marriage law is no longer in effect for her. So if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she will be called an adulterer. But if her husband dies, she is free from this law, so she is not committing adultery if she marries another man. In the same way, brothers and sisters, you have died to the laws in Moses' teachings through Christ's body. You belong to someone else, the one who was brought back to life. As a result, we can do what God wants. While we were living under the influence of our corrupt nature, sinful passions were at work throughout our bodies. Stirred up by Moses' law, they did things that result in death. But now we've died to those laws that bound us. God has broken their effect on us so that we are serving in a new spiritual way, not in an old way dictated by written words. What should we say then? Are Moses' laws sinful? That's unthinkable. In fact, I wouldn't have recognized sin if those laws hadn't shown it to me. For example, I wouldn't have known that some desires are sinful if Moses' teachings hadn't said, "Never have wrong desires." But sin took the opportunity provided by this commandment and made me have all kinds of wrong desires. Clearly, without laws, sin is dead. At one time, I was alive without any laws. But when this commandment came, sin became alive and I died. I found that the commandment which was intended to bring me life actually brought me death. Sin, taking the opportunity provided by this commandment, deceived me and then killed me. So Moses' teachings are holy, and the commandment is holy, right, and good. Now, did something good cause my death? That's unthinkable. Rather, my death was caused by sin so that sin would be recognized for what it is. Through a commandment, sin became more sinful than ever. I know that God's standards are spiritual, but I have a corrupt nature, sold as a slave to sin. I don't realize what I'm doing. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate. I don't do what I want to do, but I agree that God's standards are good. So I am no longer the one who is doing the things I hate, but sin that lives in me is doing them. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, nothing good lives in my corrupt nature. Although I have the desire to do what is right, I don't do it. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't want to do. Now, when I do what I don't want to do, I'm no longer the one who is doing it. Sin that lives in me is doing it. So I've discovered this truth. Evil is present with me, even when I want to do what God's standards say is good. I take pleasure in God's standards in my inner being. However, I see a different standard at work throughout my body. It is at war with the standards my mind sets and tries to take me captive to sin standards which still exist throughout my body. What a miserable person I am! Who will rescue me from my dying body? I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ rescues me, so I am obedient to God's standards with my mind, but I am obedient to sin's standards with my corrupt nature.